Welcome to Choosing Leadership, a podcast for high performers with big dreams and for leaders who know that they are more powerful than the level that they are currently playing. I am Sumit Gupta, your host and the founder CEO of the Deploy Yourself School of Leadership. I am here to help the best leaders get better and to help organizations massively improve their output and impact, and at the same time eradicating workplace stress. Yes. Completely eradicating, not just reducing, completely eradicating. I believe in creating a future and a work culture where people wait for Mondays, not Fridays, and get to do their most meaningful work. The aim of this podcast is not to provide you more content, but instead shift the context under which you operate. This podcast is titled Choosing Leadership because that is what leadership is, a choice. In each episode, I will celebrate leaders who have made such choices, which are not always easy and comfortable, but which has helped them get to where they are today. And let us celebrate the leader in us for choosing to move over our fears, for choosing to be motivated by something bigger than ourselves, and for choosing to deal with every challenge that comes on the way. Let us celebrate you right now for stepping into the unknown and taking courageous action, as those were the moments when you chose leadership. At the end, I will share how you can be our next guest on this podcast. And with that, let's get started. Juhi is the founder and CEO at Divin Pro, which is an impact-driven BPO and KPO run and managed by women and marginalized sects. In this interview, Juhi, drawing from her family's legacy of empowering women, shares her journey driven by an innate purpose which is spanning multiple generations. Reflecting on her grandmother's leadership, she emphasizes following purpose and people and integrating empathy and parenting in her leadership style. She addresses the challenges of being perceived as authoritative and advocates for confidence grounded in rational perspectives. Her advice for women leaders includes balancing responsibilities, setting boundaries without guilt, and staying committed to personal growth and purposeful living. Welcome, Juhi, to the Choosing Leadership podcast.
Thank you so much, Sumit. Thank you for the opportunity. And I've been really appreciating your work. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. It's a pleasure to have you here. Can you share a bit about who you are and what is it that keeps you busy?
Yeah, actually, I run two organizations. One is Divin Pro Private Limited, which is a social impact organization based out of India in Uttarakhand, which is a hilly state and a difficult terrain. Second, it is a not-for-profit organization called Divin Pro Foundation. And we primarily focus on empowering women with the employment, empower them with health, skills, and entrepreneurship also. So we've been working with government organizations like Women and Child Department. We've been working with the Department of Industries and Employment Department. And apart from that, of course, we have a lot of tie-ups and partnerships with various startups in India and otherwise a few not-for-profit organizations as well. Yeah. And about educational background, I am basically a doctorate in organizational psychology.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. See, what I feel after listening to that is like running a startup itself is hard enough. It's challenging enough. I think what you're doing is you're even like making it a lot more focused, not just on the impact, but also in how you are doing, right? Which you spoke about the woman and all of that. So first of all, I want to understand like where is that drive or desire coming from? And does that make the journey more difficult, right? Like focusing on a narrow segment, especially as a business, where a lot of businesses like go wherever the money is or go wherever the easiest opportunity is. So two questions, right? Where is the desire or this? How do you connect the dots? And then how does that impact your journey?
Sure. So as to the first question, from where does the drive comes? So if I would tell you that this drive or this particular purpose is perhaps in my genes, and we have been doing this for past four generations, you would laugh. That's how, you know, you must be around 40s and four generations. Yes. So great grandmother and her grandmother, they were working for women and they've been working tirelessly before independence also. And when in India, women used to be at home and safeguard themselves and not do much but to take care of children and household, which is itself is a very important work. But then in that era, they used to step out, work in a school and empower other women to study further. So this is perhaps in my gene and I don't credit myself for anything. So something which is innate and which has perhaps been pushing me for quite some time. And now I heard my voice, my inner voice, and pursue this.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for sharing that. And before we jump on to the second question, I think just a bit more, right? I think you are being too humble when you say you don't give yourself credit. But from that lineage, right? From that, you have grown up seeing and witnessing. What do you think that you take away as a leadership skill, as a human trait, that's very valuable for not just for you, but for any leader out there?
So I think the best thing, which is very interesting, I saw my grandmother, my dadi, very close. I used to be with her for a lot of time. And I used to see that to be a leader, you must learn the art to follow the purpose and the people. Following purpose means listening to your inner call. What's your purpose? You need to learn to follow that, listen to that. And of course, the worthy people around you. Everybody has some kind of a very interesting feature or characteristic which needs to be learned. And if you're a real leader, you would pick up those good things and follow your path. This is what I've learned from grandmother. And apart from that, if I talk about my mother, I often go to her, reach out to her for advice whenever I do something new. So one very beautiful thing I would like to tell you that when I was getting into my startup journey, so I asked her that, Mama, what should I do? And one piece of advice that you would like to give me at this point in time, she said, you're very mature, everything. So just do what you want. I said, no, I still want something. I still need your guidance. So she said, just be a parent. Take leadership as a parenting job. So if you take care of your employees' heart, if you can actually empathize with them, everything will fall in place.
Yeah.
Everything will happen for you and for others. So just take care of them and act like a parent who you already are. So I'm a mother to two children. So I understand the language. So this is the piece of advice that I've got from a mother.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. I think parenting is a very, like, a very good analogy or metaphor to use with leadership. And many times, as you mentioned, like, we treat people who stay at home, like whether it's the father or the mother, in a very indifferent way. And we don't see that, like, they could be like having a skill or learning a skill through that process of raising a child that could be very useful and valuable everywhere else. So thank you for sharing that. Yeah. So now coming back to, because if anybody who is listening, I'm sure they have the questions of business is a practical thing, right? How do you deal with the practical side, let's say, of running a business, getting clients with that focus, right? With that mission and the purpose that you just mentioned.
So the mission is simple, is to empower women with employment, to give them employment. When we talk about giving them employment, my idea of change is this. Then, of course, I need work to give it to them. So I bring in projects. I go to various corporate houses, government, and bring projects and processes on which I train them, put them on job, and of course, pay them their checks. Right? It's very straightforward and very simple that my clients are my investors. I have not raised any funds from any other party. I have not taken any loan. I've put in my little money initially, which I earned. And apart from that, my clients trusted me. So in these two and a half years of time, about 30 companies trusted me, including the government. That's the portfolio that we have. And that says that people believe in causes, good causes.
Yeah. And can you share a bit about the future? Like, you have just started. So where are you headed? What's the dream?
Dream is not to be in the race of number one, number two, or number three. Dream is to earn a lot of respect in terms of business and, of course, earn enough so that I can employ a lot of people. So my simple vision, when I exactly use the same language which I use And my vision statement is that by 2040, I would like to be one of the most respected organizations across the globe. So when we say that, respect doesn't come this easily. You need to prove yourself at every step, whether it is customer, whether it is profitability, whether it is creating worth and meaning and purpose. It's all inclusive.
Yeah. And that's a lofty dream. Can you share about your own journey as a leader? Can you share what is the next level of growth, or what is the, how do you think you need to grow or become a different or a better person to lead the organization through that mission?
So there've been many things on which I can really work on myself and my organization. We are work in progress all the time, whether it is my organization or me. We learn from each other every day. And about my personal growth milestones, if I would say that, I would like to be more financially apprised and sensitized so that I can achieve what I want. Because if I dream of giving employment to a lot of people, which means generating enough capital and generating enough money to be able to create that infrastructure wherein I can actually give them a space, the right kind of a space and worthy work to them. So I still feel that I somehow lack that knack, and I am working towards that. This is the first thing that comes to my mind. Yeah.
And how does that come in the way?
I realized while speaking to a lot of funders and investors, I never wanted, but I received two offers from them that they would like to invest. But when I was actually reading my books of accounts and financial statement and all that, I realized that I still need to learn further, because I always, all my life, I've been a professional working for some other organization. Yeah. However, I've been involved in raising institutions and building new departments within the organization. But financial aspect was not exactly my thing then. But now it's my thing. And I need to learn better.
Yeah. And on the flip side of it, what do you think is your biggest strength? What is it that when you're doing it, it doesn't even feel like work? It feels like time is flowing by?
Yeah, I think I recently been asked this question in the last podcast also. And immediately what came from mouth was perhaps endorsed by my team also later on when they heard the podcast. I think I can build institutions. Yeah. I build teams, and teams don't leave me. My associations with my friends, my people, my team has always been very long. I have friends for last 35, 37 years, and we are still in touch and we are still in very good terms.
Yeah.
So having people in my life and bringing them together and keeping them with me is perhaps my biggest strength.
Yeah. Can you share a bit more? Let's dive a little deeper there. What is it that you do, or anything that you can elaborate that people stick with you, or it could also be feedback that you have heard from people?
Yes. If we talk about people and being with them, you need to understand that there will always be a space for different ideologies. There's psychology of individual differences. You will always find people different from you. You cannot map them with your ideologies and your structure. So if you are very mindful of that, that everybody is not Juhi and everybody cannot be Juhi, you give them freedom of space, their free space to grow and to nurture. Just create that soil. Perhaps people will be attached to you. This is called perhaps the integrity, because they're grounded with you. If you're grounded, they're grounded with you. Create that soil, fertile land wherein you all work and bloom together. So you understand that we are different and give that respect to that difference and let people help each other to grow in whichever possible way. And be vulnerable also many a times. It doesn't only your employee can be vulnerable in front of you. Please feel free to be vulnerable in front of your employees also. They must also learn and understand that what are the challenges that you face, and you would like to learn from them. You want their advice too.
Yeah.
So you build relationship then.
Yes. So you use the word grounded, and I can sense that groundedness in how you're responding. Now, at the same time, for women, like it's almost many times people treat them as second-class citizens. And not like deliberately. Many times it's just a bias. It's something unconscious. Even for successful women, I have seen them, like, people don't take me seriously until I like share what I'm doing or I really stand up for myself. So my question to you would be, how do you take care of yourself? How do you create that space of groundedness for yourself so that you can do what you have been doing with your team?
It's a difficult game, definitely. I would agree, because you need to pick space for yourself on the table every time. You have to prove, irrespective of your experience, irrespective of your education and your proven track record, you have to prove every moment that, hey, you can also be there or rather do better than many others. What do I do to do that is to have immense amount of faith in myself. Let people, let world doubt. Let me not doubt myself of my capabilities, of my intentions, of my personals, you know, what I want to pursue in my life. So let me not doubt. At least let me be confident about myself. And if I am confident, if I feel that what I know and what I do not know, and I expect, accept gracefully my vulnerabilities, my goodness, everything. If I know and I'm mindful of that, perhaps nobody can pinpoint you for everything, because you know that, you're mindful of that, and you accept that. So that's the basic thing, acceptance with grace.
Yeah. And how do you do that specifically, especially when, let's say, you are in a tough conversation or there are times of pressure and it's very easy to like doubt ourselves or judge ourselves? How do you keep that state of mindfulness? Or is it like, do you do some practices? Or is it like, do you talk to some people? How does that work for you?
Very good question. All these things are skills, and you need to train your mind for that. You need to remind yourself each day. And over the period of time, it is always there in front of the here every time, that you don't have to doubt yourself. You're going for an important meeting. Let people say whatever they want. You have to persuade them. You have to impress upon them that you're right. What you're saying, you mean that. You mean business. So when you do and you practice it each time and you achieve certain successes by doing that, you become very confident. And confidence make the other people feel a little, they understand, hey, it's not a simple game. We cannot play around with this person. She knows her job. She knows her work. She knows what she wants. So we cannot play around. Let's talk business. So this will eventually happen with everyone if somebody practices that and go there with great amount of affirmation. So it's a matter of practice.
Yeah, yeah. And many times I also hear from women leaders, right, that they take care of everybody else. And they almost feel like a responsibility, like an impulse. So no matter whether something comes up, that they are the first one to jump and help and serve.
100%.
Which is wonderful, but I think the flip side of it is many women leaders do not prioritize themselves or prioritize their hobbies or just taking time out for themselves last. Can you share how has that evolved for you over the years? What do you do for yourself beyond the work? How do you nourish yourself?
So I would again say that I'm work in progress. I'm again trying to do that because I have a lot of hobbies. I've been into sports. Under 18, I played nationals, and I've been into theater and even television for a very small period of time. Did a lot of things. I write poetry, but yes, priority is a difficult task, especially in this particular phase of your life. When you play so many roles, I'm talking about this particular phase of life specifically, wherein you are in early 40s, your children are growing up, your parents are aging, you have a new business to look after, and you understand that your energy is slightly low. When you understand these things, the only thing that helps is to prioritize the roles and the primary responsibilities. So I have seen very tough times in these 2 years in terms of health of my mother-in-law. She was absolutely very sick in ICU. So I left everything. The only priority at that moment in my life was to save my mother-in-law, to bring her home. And if she comes back home, everything will fall in place eventually. Second time when my son was very sick, everything was secondary. I was playing all the roles. But first role was to bring that into cognizance that, hey, this is what is most important. To prioritize things is very tough because you need to be very careful of what you're losing and what you're gaining. So you need to map and measure your pluses and minuses, losses and pluses. And that's a tough game. That's a tough game. And that also comes with a lot of mindfulness and practice.
Mm.
How did I do that? I don't know. Maybe a couple of things. I've been observant of people, good people around me. This is what I've said. I've been blessed with wonderful people around me. I saw them. I practiced what I liked in them. And this is how.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing those two particular examples, certainly. Yeah. So looking forward, especially in this landscape of leadership and an evolving like culture, and also the world is very different like than just 10 years ago, leave alone like before. What do you see are the biggest opportunities for you, and but also for any leader, male or female, any leader out there to create impact, to create not just wealth and prosperity, but also to do it in a way that I think aligns with, as you're doing, right? UN's Sustainable Development Goals. So what do you see are the biggest opportunities ahead, either for you or for any leader?
If we keep for a moment AI and ML aside, which is the thing today and which has a great future. But Sumit, what you're doing is wonderful. Why? And this has the biggest future, most greatest potential. Because people are moving on technology, people are moving on artificiality, and everybody is missing the human touch. This will come into fashion again. It's a fad. It is happening for good for a lot of things. But again, it is killing people's heart and peace and mind and so on and so forth. It is equally, many times, it is very challenging as well. So what you're losing right now, you start missing that very soon. And that's human touch. So, which is why it is very important to learn the art to be with people. You can never be an animal, you understand that. So you cannot live alone. You need people to talk, to share. Even when you talk, when you call on a toll-free number, dial this, dial that. You don't dial that. You dial 9 so that you can speak to the customer care executive. You don't want artificiality because that's not your fundamental. You may enjoy a new game for some time and get bored of it. And when you get bored of it, you'll come back to the basics. That is being social. And evolve from this phase. And where you're doing a good job.
Yes, I think my story is a very paradoxical example because I started my journey with computers. And also the reason is very important, right? Because I always said that I'm an introvert. So give me computers. That's where I don't have to talk to people. And then like 20 years down the line, if I do a program for a company, I ask them to keep their phones and laptops aside. Otherwise, I don't start a program because I can see that how much of that distraction and artificiality can actually stop us from being with each other, listening to each other, talking to each other, looking in the eye, and really connecting at a level which is beyond intelligence, right? Yes, our mind has a place, all of our smartphones, but there's a part of us which is beyond smartness, beyond intelligence. So my story is a very paradoxical. Even I don't believe it sometimes now that I am, like I'm asking people to like switch off their phones or put their phones aside for a session with me. Yeah, so thank you for sharing that this will come back and maybe it never goes away. It's just, it's being covered up, but it's always there. Yeah.
Which is why we are talking.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. So I would also say that what we are talking about is very less spoken truths in society. So when you go out, when you meet people, what is it that people get wrong about you or misunderstand about you? And then how do you deal with that?
So about 3 years, 4 years ago, I heard this particular statement, not immediately in last 3, 4 years, but one thing which was very common, I heard about myself from 4 or 5 people, and perhaps many people must have felt that I say things with a lot of authority, and authority doesn't come with ease to people. Later, I realized, I tried working on that, but later I realized after speaking to a lot of people that what should I do? Listen, one thing, that if you speak with authority, there's nothing wrong in that, which shows that you're confident of what you're saying.
Yeah.
But when you say those things not in the right manner, that is wrong. if you don't say those things in the wrong manner and your intent is not is wrong, then perhaps that is wrong. If your intention is right, your way is right, just that you're very powerful on that thought doesn't make you a bad person. So be like that. Because you need to lead people to learn all these things. These are skills. Not everybody can follow. Following is a skill. As I said, to be a leader, you need to be a good follower of purpose in people. You cannot, if people can't follow good people, worthy people, smarter people, intelligent people, wisdom, people with wisdom, they won't be able to reach anywhere else. So that's also not.
Yeah.
So this is one statement which I heard, and I tried working on that, but then I was stopped by good people saying that don't do that. And another thing that I miss that is to exercise and do meditative techniques, because I've been doing that in part and a couple of years ago. I left that and I need to refollow that.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you for adding that, especially that part about being confident or being authoritative. And then how do you draw the line that you still speak, you don't give up, you don't compromise, you stand for what you believe in, and yet making sure that relationship is moving forward, right? It's not speaking for the sake of it, but also like not compromising on your own self, unless you can be authentic with yourself. Like, there is no power in doing whatever that you're doing if it doesn't feel good from the inside. So thank you for adding that part about authority and confidence, and how, especially for women, right? How that can be perceived in a very different way. Yeah.
Sure. So one line I would like to add here, because you said that how you managed. So one thing I realized, since you said that how after doing that you maintain the relationship, I did something which is very interesting, very purposefully, that I started showing the perspective. Why am I positive or very affirmative about this thought? Because I started adding because my perspective, my logic, my rational behind that. When I add rational, people understand more.
Yeah.
And who doesn't want to understand will never understand. But people with open mind will understand. So that is one trick which I followed.
Yeah, yeah. So thank you. Thank you for that. And as we wrap up, I have one last question, right? What advice would you give to a woman leader, especially who feels guilty or who feels self-conflicted in like trying to take on more responsibilities at work and in their profession, but then also having this almost like a temptation to do everything for everybody or to never say no or to never set your boundaries? And then whenever you say no or whenever you set a boundary, there is a almost guilty feeling, even shame sometimes, that I'm not being a good like good mother or like good something. What advice would you give to somebody like that?
A beautiful question. So the only advice, I don't know, but my experience, the first thing which we must understand that why we are here to unfold ourselves to maximum is to pursue the purpose, is to rise above who we are right. And in process of rising above, unfolding yourself, you need to work hard. You need to make choices and take decisions. And when you make choices, you will have to understand what is right thing, which is going to help you to rise above. And things that are stopping. If things that are stopping you for that moment, because your priorities are very important, say, for example, son's exam or mother-in-law's health, or very important role that is there in your life parallelly, then perhaps you can choose for some time. You can work on your timelines. But you must not drop the idea of rising above and managing some other thing and then cribbing and being sad about things. So it has to be here every moment that why, what I want, why I'm here, and what ultimately is the purpose, what I would like to achieve. If that is very clear, each day you will pour something towards it and you'll rise one step. You'll go one step ahead. And apart from that, just take care of yourself, that you're sent here for a responsibility. And if that responsibility is clear to you, you're doing justice to him. And that should not be forgotten.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, that's beautiful, especially the phrase rising above. Yeah. Yeah, I will just add like something which I often share with women leaders, that you are never wrong, that you cannot be wrong. And there is and you're not a bad whatever that you think you are, that you cannot be bad. And it's so easy to get caught up in those narratives or internal dialogue. But to understand that, like, you have to rise above, but by many times not by fighting against it, but to really seeing that it's, you're not wrong. That's a part of your brilliance, your leadership, that you even think that you're wrong. That points me to the other direction. Because the people who literally do not care do not think that they are bad or that they are wrong, right? The people, only people who feel guilty are people who care about something so much to actually do that. So thank you for adding that rising above. I love that. There is a sense of lift, yeah, to that.
Absolutely. In fact, from your point only, I would like to say that there is nothing wrong. Many times you do things which are appropriate of time, which is conducive of that moment, which is right at that moment. So you need to be very mindful. You cannot be always very true or very wrong. There's no white and black thing. Yeah. There are the many times when you say, feel that you need to choose the gray. That's one. And then secondly, you can rise above by accepting gracefully a lot of things, that this moment is not right. Maybe tomorrow or day after, maybe a month. So, which is fine. My path is clear. My goal is clear. I need to reach there. Maybe a month later. So, graceful acceptance without getting sad about it. That, yes, this is the moment where my need is something else, but I'll go there. I'll rise.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. And it's a wonderful realization, right? With that acceptance, it's almost like feeling of fresh, like a breath of fresh air, because that you yourself, as well as everybody else, is doing the best they can. And it's very easy to judge somebody or judge yourself in hindsight. But when you see that it's not right and wrong, it's what could be the appropriate or the best, given the situation, given the capability, given everything else that was going on with you, you did the best you could. And then there is no point in criticizing or judging or blaming. In fact, you can honor that choice. You can not just accept, but also honor and be proud of making a decision at a given point of time. So thank you. Thank you for adding those last bits. It was absolutely a delight talking to you. And before I end, for somebody who wants to listen, and I want to invite everybody who is listening to listen to this at least 2 times, because you will get something else on the second time. And so before we end, for anybody who now have listened 2 times or 1 time and they want to reach out to you, find out what you are up to, what is the best way for them to do?
LinkedIn. I'm readily available there. And LinkedIn is the best place. And then we can decide how we can further talk and develop the relationship. And yeah, that's the best way to start with. And of course, your podcast.
Absolutely.
I'm loving the conversation, by the way. Wonderful way how you put up things and you set the narrative and bring out things from people. It's beautiful.
Thank you. Thank you, Juhi, for everything that you do. And I think more importantly, how you do it. And as we end, I would like to wish you all the best for everything that lies ahead for you.
So to you, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you. That's it for this episode of Choosing Leadership with Sumit Gupta. I choose leadership every time I record this podcast. And I invite you to do the same. I invite you to design a life of joy, meaning, pride, and satisfaction, not just for yourself, but for everybody around you. If you got something out of this episode, would you share this episode on social media? And if you know somebody who would be a great guest, can you tag them on social media to let them know about the show? And if you are a leader who wants to acknowledge how far you have come and have big dreams for the future, please reach out to me to be a guest on this podcast. And I love seeing your posts and guest suggestions. This is what I do most naturally, to lovingly and gently provoke you, to help you see your own light, to help you see what you are already capable of. To make sure you don't miss any episodes, go ahead and subscribe. Your thumbs up, ratings, and reviews go a long way to help promote the show. And it means a lot to me and my team. If you want to know more, go to deployyourself.com and subscribe to my newsletter or follow me on LinkedIn. I want to thank everyone who contributed to making this show a reality. And I want to thank you for listening. Always remember that you are enough, you are loved, and you matter. This is Sumit. Until next time, keep choosing leadership.